Thank you, Miss Blair. What a blessing. The music has been good today. Amen. Take your Bible and go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 this morning. We will be turning the scripture today a little bit, and not always my way, but today we'll be moving around a little bit, and that's what God has for us this morning. I want to preach a message this morning about, I believe God would have me entitle it for the tape room, The Power of Salvation. The Power of Salvation. I've mentioned much, and in my own personal study, I've kind of been going through the attributes of God, and one of the things that when you look just how almighty God really is, and that all his attributes tie one with the other, and he's just unchangeable, and he's holy, that he's pure, all of those things, and his mighty power, all those things work together to make God God. And sometimes as we, you know, it's good for us to take another look as we progress and as we age. How's that? I'll say it that way. I mentioned it to my Sunday school class today, and I'll mention it again. Sometimes they get what's in my heart, and I thought about, I used to ride roller coasters when I was a teenager, and even younger than that, a young person, and I'd just throw my hands back and, woo, man. And it's because I had no knowledge. I didn't know any better than that. And then when I had my first children, my child get on a roller coaster with me, I kind of had one hand over watching them. And I'd go, whoa, you know. And I'd kind of watch them a little bit. And I was excited about it. But then as I aged even farther and my understanding and my knowledge grew, when I was standing in line that whole time, I'm looking at the wheels that hold that thing together. And I'm going, I hope somebody greased that thing today. I hope that they didn't skip, or I hope somebody didn't call in sick today that needed to look at this and make sure that it would stay together. Because then I was hanging on to me and them and everything I could hold on to. And then I just gave it up. You know, it's not that I can't ride them anymore. I don't get sick or anything. I just get on there and I go, I don't know if I want to tempt God this way. And so for all of you, I'm not trying to ruin roller coasters for you. I'm just saying that, as we grow in our knowledge of the scripture and then we study who God is again, all of a sudden, all the things that God has given us between, as a young man, I studied the attributes of God. And then as I've grown in my knowledge of the scripture, all those things blend together to help me realize just how big and how deep and how great God really is. And it's good for us, even though we may know that God is omniscient and omnipotent and all the things that we could say about God's attributes and who he is. When we go back to a study, when we have a better foundation, boy, it's good to go through it again. It's been said before, the scripture's just so good. We could never, from where I'm from, it's, Purdue chicken. So we have chicken. We reference everything by chicken. You can pick it and pick it and never pick it clean. Amen. And so, again, the scripture's just that good. And so this morning, before we begin preaching, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him for his power and for his blessings upon the message this morning. Let's pray together. Dear God, as we come to you this morning, we do beg you, God, to use the message that you've laid upon my heart, God, what I found in your word and what I believe is for our people this morning. I pray, God, that you would just give us power of speech. God, I pray you control every word and only that which the Holy Spirit would say would be spoken. God, I pray that you would do what I can't do, Holy Spirit of God, and that is go into the heart of the hearer and change their heart and mind and line it up with the word of God. I pray if there is one that does not know Christ today, that they would get the power of salvation upon their lives, that they would know that they know that they know that they're on their way to heaven before they leave this building today. If there's one on the radio or even on the line, dear God, that would be needing salvation and would trust in Christ from a distance, God, we pray that it be you would work, and Holy Spirit of God, that you would do the work that needs to be done for them to come to Christ. I pray, God, today that you would do the work. God Almighty, I pray that you would show up in power and in majesty because of your word and because of your house and because of your church, that you would build your church. I beg it in Jesus' name. Amen. The power of salvation, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and I want to begin reading in verse 17. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I don't know if most of us, we don't often contemplate exactly what we got when we got saved. We don't often understand completely the power that it took to change an old sinner into something that could be, if I could say it this way, a brand new man. Not an old creature, but a brand new creature. I know that we often have preached that you must be born again, but I don't know if you realize, and sometimes we again, when it's been a long time, if I could say it just like I said about attributes of God, if it's been a long time since you've been saved, it's good, just like next week we'll remember what happened at the towers and we will remember those things. It's good for us to go back in our mind's eye and remember what it was like when I got saved. I don't know about you, but the church is not about just us coming and hearing the gospel over and over again, but for us to come and get pumped up to go out and win a lost and dying world to Jesus Christ. It's a ministry, not a ministry of just for us to sit and soak up the Word of God. It's for us to come to God's house and to realize we're a part of the ministry of reconciliation. That the old man has passed away, that old creature is gone, and now I'm a brand new creature created in Christ Jesus. I'm His workmanship, and He's working on me so that I can go out and tell somebody else about what He did for this old creature. Not the old creature that I used to be, but I'm telling them about the new creature that I'm now. I don't know about you, but when I come to the church house, I get excited. I'm looking for something from God's Word to encourage me. When I leave the house of God and I go out into this world and I'm around, I don't find encouragement, I find discouragement. When I turn on the TV and I watch what's going on in the world, I don't get encouraged about what's going on in our country or what's going on in our world. I get discouraged by those things. And I come to God's house to remember what my purpose is. I come to God's house to remember that I've got a purpose, that I've been changed. It's not some living for me or trying to get all that I can get on this side of heaven, but that somebody came from heaven and died on Calvary and paid for my sin and paid for your sin. And now we can come together as a different family, not a family of blood, but a family of the blood of Jesus Christ, knit together under the doctrines of the Bible, ready to go out and reconcile a lost and dying world to a brand new idea. Can you imagine? You know, we're our little blip of time, our little blip of this time period that we live in is such a little blip of history. People waited throughout all the Old Testament looking for a Savior that would come. And we get to live in the church age, a time of grace, a time of precious and great promises, according to 2 Peter chapter 1. And you and I own those things as a believer. We live in those things, but boy, let's help us. I don't know about you. I just don't want to suck up and hold on to the promises. I want to go out and tell somebody about what God has done for me. I want to let other people know. I want to make sure the world knows that Jesus died for their sins and paid for them. He says here the power of salvation. I want to say number one this morning that God, listen, He gave us the power of a divine change, a power of a divine change. We can see that in the scripture, but turn with me to John chapter 1 and verse number 12. We're going to run some scripture today. I hope you're all right with that, but I've marked them, so I'll let you get there. But if I start reading ahead of you, don't get mad with me. Amen. John chapter 1 and verse number 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He gave us power to become the sons of God. I mentioned it before, and I can't help but get ahead of myself. I don't know about you, but Brother Westmoreland preached a little bit about what the church is. Sometimes we don't give, I'm just going to say it, we don't give God credit for what He did for the believer when He started the church. We don't realize how important it is for God to just help us and to take care of us and help us with this thing. Guys, are we going to get this on? Amen. He said, that brother, he said, I'm preaching so hard this morning, they keep turning me down. Amen. I'll calm down. Just kidding. Amen. Leave it where it is, and if I scream in it too loud, let me break it. Amen. We'll get another one. Amen. Amen. I don't know if you realize what you got when you got saved, but when we got saved and baptized, God gave us the power to become the sons of God. Sons of God, but also a part of His church. And this church is part of our inheritance. It's part of our family. We get to become a part of the beloved. I don't know about you, but I'm glad about the church. Every good thing that ever happened to me happened in the Lord's church. I came to the church as a young boy, and it took me a while. I was hard-headed and stubborn, but it came to a place where I would humble myself before God and receive Jesus as my Savior. And from that day till this, I've been born again. I've been a part of the family. I hung out with the family for a long time. They didn't kick me out. They didn't treat me wrong. They tried to encourage me to live right. They tried to teach me. They kept me in the Christian school, even when I was a knucklehead, for all those years. But finally, I remember my youth pastor, that night that I got saved, he said, I've been praying for you to get saved. I said, I guess you have. Amen. I wasn't evil, but I can tell you, I needed to put off the old man and put on the new man. And then I felt different. It wasn't just a place I went to. It was to meet with the family of God. It was to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It was fellowship. I wanted to be with God's people. I wanted to be in His house. I wanted to be about His purpose. I wanted to hear about the ministry that God had given me as a Christian of reconciliation. He says here in verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. I don't know about you, but I know this. I got changed when I got saved. There was an experience that happened to me, and I knew in an instant when I bowed my head in my heart and I humbled myself before God and I called out upon His name and trusted His finished work of Calvary and that He rose again. For me, something changed that night, and I knew it on the inside. Not everybody could see it, but some people could see it. You say, well, there's no experience. It's not a feeling. I'm here to tell you, if you're putting something off and putting something on, you feel something. You may get numb to it. You may not think or remember far enough back to what happened to you. It wasn't like a lightning bolt came from heaven, but as many have said before, I felt a burden of sin roll off of me and roll on to the God that had already paid for it. And I felt free as a bird. I felt like, man, I'm a new man. I'm lightened up. I'm different than I used to be. I couldn't wait to tell everybody else. I don't know about you, but here let me say this. He's not only gave me the power to be a son of God, but He powered me to be quickened. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 in your scriptures today. We must hasten because them guys in the tape room messed me up already. I'll blame it on them when I'm late. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, and many of you have heard these verses before, but we need to understand what power happened at salvation for me. That man, that old man, that old creature that was dead spiritually in sin, he was quickened. Look at chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Skip down a couple verses. In verse 4 he says, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Look at this. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness to usward through Christ Jesus. I don't know if you got down and marked it down, but even like I said, it wasn't like we got hit with a lightning bolt, but there was a quickening that happened. When it felt like something rolled off, it was something starting up. It was something that had died in the garden in Adam a long time ago, but when when Jesus came in, when the Holy Spirit quickened me, at the moment that I got saved, when you got saved, the experience of salvation was powerful for me. It changed me. I've never been the same. And as a believer in this room, it would do us good to remember. Listen, if we're going to remember next week how we went back in our mind's eye to just what happened on that day and how Americans came together and how we decided that we were going to go off to a foreign land to avenge or to defend our freedom. I just want you to understand that as a believer, we need to revive. We need to remember in ourselves that we were born again a long time ago, that something happened and that Jesus came in and with power, I was electrified or quickened according to the scripture and made alive unto God. I never heard God speak before that day. I never heard God talk to me when I read the scripture before, but I fell under conviction before. There was a drawing before, but now instead of drawing me to himself, now after I received Jesus Christ, I became a son of God. And on the inside of me, deep down inside of my soul, when I read his book, it changed. I'd hear God say, you need to do that. I'd hear God say, that one's for you right there. He'd say, hey, isn't that promise wonderful? You got that when you got Jesus. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but I don't ever want to forget what happened to me at salvation. I want to remember and remember and remember the power of divine change that happened to me at salvation. I want to say, number two, that there was a power of divine confidence that came over me. Never before in my life had I ever been confident in my salvation. I'd been in church. I knew how people got saved. I had even told other people how they could be saved. I had memorized the Romans Road long before I ever received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I took the scripture and went door to door with others, and I showed them exactly how somebody could be saved. I showed them. I said, hey, all you got to do is, number one, do this. Number two, do this. Number three, do this. And now if you'll just bow your head and pray and trust in Christ, you can be saved. I had done that over and over again as a young teen in my teen group. But God began to convict my heart that there was something missing in me. There was a drawing happening in me that I was, listen, even though I knew what to do, that I personally had never done it myself. I've told you it over and over again. I would share my doubt with others. And they'd say, oh, you got saved when you were five. Oh, you got saved with this. And I would think to myself, funny, I don't know it. I'm glad you know it, but I don't know it. I'd share with them. I remember telling another teenager, I've just been doubting this thing, and I don't know. He goes, surely you're saved. Look at how you dress and you go to church. Look at how you talk. You don't say the wrong thing. Look, you've been baptized. I mean, he went through the list of things that I needed to do, he thought, to be saved. And surely if anybody was saved, Barry Parsons was saved. But there was a hole inside of me that kept crying out for a holy God. One that kept saying at night when I was alone and by myself, it didn't tell me confidence. It didn't speak to me confidently and say, oh, you're saved. You know you're on your way to heaven. Deep down on the inside, there was something on the inside that said, you need to be saved. You need to receive Jesus for yourself. Sure, you know about it. Sure, you go to church. Sure, you've been baptized. Sure, you've taught Sunday school. Sure, you preach behind the pulpit as one of those teen boys on teen night. But still, you need to be born again. There was power, divine power, that came into my heart. When I received Jesus Christ, I want you to look at it with me. Turn with me to just right in the same scripture. There was something that happened to me. I gained divine confidence when I received the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Look at it with me. When I got saved, what happened to me was happens to every believer that truly trusts and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that we receive the Holy Spirit of promise. It's it in whom ye have trusted. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye have trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Look at verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Turn with me back, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I want you to see some confidence. See, because I got sealed into the day of redemption, I don't have to question. There's no losing my salvation. I received eternal salvation. I didn't do anything to get it, and I don't do anything to keep it. The Holy Spirit of God seals me and keeps me saved until the day that Jesus Christ comes and returns for his purchased possession. Therefore, I can have confidence. Therefore, you can have confidence. It's not this, I think so today, I think so tomorrow, or as I hear at many doors of every, listen, I'm just going to tell you, those that don't know for sure, I stand at their door and they say, I hope I'm saved. I said, let me tell you about how you can know. He says here, look at the scripture with me in chapter 5, this is where we began. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, I want you to see this. This idea here that is mentioned, this idea of confidence, look back at verse 5 and set it in perspective. It's always good. We read about the confidence in verse 6 and in verse 8. But if we don't put it in context according to the scripture, we don't know what he was speaking of. He says, now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. He's telling us that we can be confident, that as a believer, when I got saved, I didn't just take off and end up in heaven, but that while I'm in the body, I can be confident that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved, that one day Jesus is going to come back for me, that one day I'm going to stand before him and be judged, not for my sin, because he's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Jesus took it away when he paid for it on Calvary. And I received him as my, if I could say it, my payment for sin. You say, Brother Parsons, what do you call that? I call it divine confidence. Do you realize that before I was saved, I had no confidence in my salvation? I had no confidence in being able to go to heaven. I knew everything the Bible had to say on salvation, but until I received Jesus as my Savior and received the Holy Spirit as the sealing agent of my salvation, I had no confidence. I had doubt, and I had doubt. People tried to assure me of what I believed, but the problem was I hadn't believed in it. I hadn't trusted. See, there's a difference. There are devils that believe and tremble. They know about God, but they, listen, just like me, I almost missed heaven by 18 inches. I had a belief in my head, but I had never trusted in him. I had never rested in the salvation that he purchased on Calvary. You say, Brother Parsons, what are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you, a Christian, the power of salvation for the Christian is not just to be changed from the old man to the new, but to be a confident man, not in your own power, but in what God did for you, that he saved you by the blood of Jesus Christ, that way before the foundation of the world, that God chose every man, woman, boy, and girl that would ever be made or ever be created. He chose them to be saved, and then he sent his son to die for the sins of the world. And after he died for it, he waits for us, knowing, if we read the book of Ephesians, I could tell you that God knows who. He calls them elect because he sees them ahead of time by foreknowledge. And then when we receive him, if I could just tell you, there's a quickening that happens for the Christian, like we said, a power that we could not work up if we ever wanted to. And that power is the Holy Spirit of God making alive the Christian inside of him and then making that person confident. I preached it over and over again, but I wish if we had a confident crowd in here today, if we could get people to the place where you understood the scripture and understood that your soul is not in jeopardy today, that you're saved and you can't do anything to lose it. Amen. If you could get that, then we would understand the ministry of reconciliation, and there wouldn't be any doubting or any wavering in spirit. It would be confidence that was inside the Christian. For me, in the dark room on a dark night, when the devil comes knocking, he says, hey, you can't be saved. The Holy Spirit slaps him in the face and says, yes, he is. I'm in here, fool. Amen. Amen.
Sometimes we forget that we've got a powerful God that loves us and takes care of us, and it's not even the demons and the devil and Satan and every principality and power that would try to take us away from a holy God. They've got no power over the soul that has been quickened by a Holy Spirit of God and sealed. I don't know if you realize how sealing. I've sealed things and I've sealed the roof, but that can't help us because that's not the sealing like the Holy Spirit does. This ceiling doesn't ever wear out. It's as strong and it'll last as long as the Holy Spirit does, and that is forever. That is why we have power, not only to be changed, but power of eternal salvation. I want you to see this. He not only has divine, we have power of divine change and power of divine confidence, but we have power of divine charge. We have a charge as a Christian. We talked about the ministry of reconciliation. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. He doesn't just give us a charge of, hey, go out and ministry of reconciliation, but he tells us how to do it. We call it the Great Commission or the Great Command of God. Amen. A power of a divine charge. You say, well, I don't know about a power of a divine charge. Well, take it up with Jesus then. Because in Matthew 28:18, Jesus says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. So what power am I to go in? The power of God. Not my power. He didn't say Peter would build his church. He said, I will build my church. And upon this rock, he's speaking of himself, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Do you know what that means? I don't know. My preacher always would stop. It helps me to remember. My old-timey preacher that I grew up under for 30 years, he would stop there always and say, that doesn't say always. The new versions put an S on it. The perversions put an S on it. But Jesus said, lo, I am with you always. That means that you say, well, how's that going to change it? It changes it, folks. Things that are different are not the same. Always, that means there's not one place, one step in the Christian life that you will step outside of divine power of salvation and divine control of God if you're seeking to fulfill the Great Commission. That means every step of the Christian that seeks the will of God and tries to see it done, each step, I'm not saying that tribulation won't come. I'm not saying that it won't be hard. I'm not saying that the world and the economy might not fall apart. It may not be that something may not fall. People's houses are going to still catch on fire. Cars are still going to have accidents. People are still going to have injury and cancer. But if I'm about the will of God, God is going to take care of me all way through. Not always, but all way through. That means every moment of every day, the power of God rests upon the Christian that seeks to do the will of God, which is the Great Commission. You say, where do I start? Maybe you ought to start in your home. Maybe you ought to start with your extended home. Stretch out farther with your neighbors. And then the uttermost parts of the world. Say, how can I do that? You don't have to just do one part. Maybe you can bring your family to the house of God. Hey, maybe you can bring your extended family to the house of God. How do I reach the world, preacher, while I'm working on all that? How about you get into a ministry of the local church called our missions program and send missionaries all over the world? Well, will my $10 really go that far? It's a part of the whole, folks. It's going to be blessed like the rest of the church's money when we gather it all together. Well, what if I give more than $10? Praise the Lord. It's going to help us send more Bibles and more tracts and more missionaries around the world for His honor and glory. There's a power, listen, a power of divine change that happens for the Christian. There's a power of divine confidence that happens inside of the Christian when we get saved. There's a power of divine charge behind the work of the Christian. And listen, I don't know about you, but there's a power that's going to catch me away one day. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17, the Bible says that we which are alive and remain will be caught up with Him. There's going to be a power one day, a trump, a shout. Say, which one's going to happen first? I don't care. As long as I get to hear it. And he comes forth and comes and steps out on the cloud. And as the church of the living God takes off and takes flight, you say, well, how will that happen? In the power of God, just like salvation happened. Just like power of confidence happened. Just like the power of the Great Commission happened in and through his local church, it's going to catch his church out of this place. But it's all the power of God. See, there's so many times that in this life, people come to the house of God and they think if they just mark off enough religious rituals, teaching Sunday school, being baptized, if I could just do enough good, if I could go to the house of God more than I don't go to the house of God, if I could just outweigh my good with my bad, somehow I'll make it. No, no, no. It is not within your power to save yourself. And if everyone's going to go there, you don't go. Listen, nobody's going to go Buddha's way. Nobody's going to go Muhammad's way. Nobody's going to go any other way but by Jesus. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you're going to go to heaven, it'll only be because you humbled yourself and allowed divine power to change you to be born again into the family of God. To allow the divine power of God to seal you and to keep you saved from this day until the day that we're caught up as a believer. And listen, if we're going to do anything as a church, it's not going to be through the preacher's power or the people's power. It's going to be through divine power that we rest in the power of God and we trust him to keep us working and going and blessing that. Let him, by his power, build his church. Church, I ask you this morning, when was the last time that you prayed God would build his church? When was the last time that you begged God? I ask you, believers today, when was the last time that you let yourself get empowered by remembering what God did for you at salvation? And that power is still active and alive and remains inside of you even today. When was the last time you said, God, give me power to fulfill your commandment of the Great Commission today? If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you said, now you preach, preacher, and I don't have any of that. I've never come to a place where I've bowed my head and my heart for Jesus Christ and accepted him as my Savior. Why don't you do that today? Get that power today that we've been preaching about. That's what the whole church ministry is about. That's why we gather together as believers. We have power to be encouraged because of what God has done, not what we've done. If you're here and you're not saved, get saved today. If you're watching or listening on the radio, receive Jesus today when given the opportunity. As we head into this, let me ask you, church, if today was the day, if after we finished the invitation and the last soul got saved and we were caught up and we stood before Jesus Christ, would you be happy with your service this past week? Would you be, boy, I ask God for power. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. As a preacher, I just want you to know, listen, there's all of us are busy people. Busyness does not equate to godliness. Busyness does not equate to the power of God resting upon your life. The world is busy with a whole another plan and purpose. But God's house and his people ought to be busy about his purpose, about his will. With heads bowed and eyes closed, as the invitation begins, the musicians come. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the invitation is simply an invitation for you to step out and come and be saved. But Christian, as we preach this morning, this invitation is for you as well. Maybe you need to come down and just remember what God did for you. Just talk to him and tell him thank you for how he purchased you and how he changed you, how he gave you power to be saved, and how he empowered you to always do his work. As we stand together, as Brother Bert sings, if God has spoken to your heart, come and do what God has asked you to do, as Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God. Just as I am, poor wretch and blind, sight-ridden.